Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two of The Mayor and Mino. Special thanks to Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine for coming on. Isn't he great? I want to have him on every single week talking about high school sports, talking about sports in general, talking about youth sports. I mean, he is a guru on those sorts of things.
Was that impressive when he consults or whatever the word is, 33 schools?
High schools,
which
yeah.
That's a lot. But... you know, and I know this, I know him a little bit, and he is really knows his the medical part, but
he cuts right through the BS, doesn't he?
Wasn't it interesting to hear the whole psychological part?
Yep, absolutely.
Of what sports is, and maybe he even, here's a guy that is, what's his title? Like VP of Sports Medicine, and he even said—
Team Facilitator for Athletic Training for Bell and Sports Medicine.
But he even said too much sports is maybe not the right thing.
Absolutely.
I thought that was
that's
like—
That's what I mean about cutting through the—
Well, yeah. That's an honest guy that really, really cares.
Exactly.
So,
no, he's outstanding.
And Bellin's, of course, great.
What they've
to this
done is just amazing.
Well, in the sports thing, what they've done in the community, and yeah, we're, you know, 100-year-old company.
He actually did help me with my gout last year, though. I got it so bad in the press box at one of the games. I had to take my shoe off, and I had to walk to my car
great.
Through the parking lot.
Nice.
Carrying my
good.
Shoe, okay. Stocking foot.
Johnny, and people are having breakfast listening to us, so make this quick.
It was so swollen. You couldn't believe my toe. I've got a picture of it. It looked like a big swollen red sausage.
Thank goodness it's in check now, because can you imagine the studio this morning if he had his shoe off and his sock
Todd,
off?
Todd, I got a picture of it.
No,
I can show you a
That would not
picture.
Happen in this studio.
Can we put a picture on our Facebook? You can't believe it. People have no idea how... painful gout is.
No, it's painful to listen to as well.
Wow.
So we have with us, we got two more guests, John. This morning's been
fun
great.
Show.
It's great. We got with the Todd Mann here helps a lot. We have Jorge. He is, so we work for Civic Media, right? Which is a company based out of Madison. They own what, 19 stations? What do you guys own? Something like that.
Including 97.3 FM WISS.
Oshkosh. Right, and we have 1590 AM here in Green Bay and 97.9 FM in Green Bay. And as Johnny said, 1100 AM WISS and 97.3 FM. So those are stations that we're broadcasting from, and then they have, 18 other stations. And can't run a successful company without some great leadership. And we have someone in the house here, Jorge Reyna. He is their VP of marketing for Civic Media. And Johnny and I have both met him a number of times. He's a guy tying this whole thing together. And we talked earlier this morning that the Brown County Fair is coming up. And actually, it's going on right now. And something that's going to be new.
Are you coming to watch me speak on Sunday? I'm also doing a book signing. I'll give you a special deal on one of the books.
Yeah. What? How can it be less than free? But anyway, John, I will. No, you. But
you're not going to come watch me speak. You're not going to come watch me speak.
It's going to be 90 degrees.
Who's taking you to the Packer game on Saturday night in a private box with a parking pass? Who?
I'll be there. I'll be at your thing. All right. I will. You're right. That's a pretty fair trade.
Hey, you know what?
Listen to you for 15 minutes.
You know what Dominic's really excited about?
What's that?
At the game? Why he's going to walk throughout the entire stadium up in those areas trying to find Simone Biles.
Yes. Tell him I'm with him.
Okay.
I'm with him.
Okay.
I would like that.
And we actually tried getting her on the air,
We did.
And her agent got back, said she's concentrating totally on getting back into competition.
As she should.
Yeah.
But that's going to come to a break. And then
I got this from Big Wayne. It's a known fact that people with extraordinarily large thighs suffer from gout.
Uh-huh.
Big Wayne.
Well, we'll talk to, we are bringing on... A.J. Dillon.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to have a contest. Who has bigger quads? Me or him?
Wait, back to... Jorge. This is the only segment we're going to get this guy in here. Yeah.
So, hi, Jorge. How you doing?
Good morning.
VP of Marketing. And we talked about the Brown County Fair. There's a lot of attractions out there. Nothing more important than John Mino's remarks Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
However, something else that's not equally, but close to being as important is there's a truth booth out there. And this is a great concept. launched by Civic Media, where you can stop by and kind of tell us your story, and we're going to document that. And Jorge, you've been doing this around the state. Why don't you tell us how it's going?
Yeah, it basically started in the Marathon County Fair last week. It came together pretty quickly, as things do in startups, you know. But we identified it as something that we definitely wanted to do because we're going, it's a direct line to the community, and we are getting all sorts of really wonderful stories.
So how does it work?
So people just, you know, they come up to us, we chat with them for a little bit to explain how it works, and then they sit down just like we're sitting down here. We have a mic, they have a mic, and we start, you know, typically just asking, you know, how you like the fair, and just for them to kind of warm up, and then most of the time they end up telling us something really wonderful. So
So there's a booth that says Civic Media. You got chairs. I mean, do you know where you're located at the Brown County?
We are in the commercial building.
The exhibitor building. Okay, so you're in the exhibitor building. All right, there's a lot of booths.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll find you there. Or do they pre-register? Can they just walk up?
They could just walk up. They could do a number of things, but the easiest thing is to just walk up and talk to us. And they get a free WGBW t-shirt and stickers and
Johnny,
all that stuff.
Johnny, do you have one?
I do not have a
Neither
free t-shirt.
Do
I do not
have
a t-shirt. Todd, you got one?
Todd?
No, we have to actually show up at the
booth. Yeah, you have to be at the booth. You have to go to the truth booth. You know, you haven't been to the truth booth.
Hey, you know, can I tell you who and Todd.
Well, you can't point. You got to see.
But who this reminds, of Regis and Gelman.
I thought you were going to say Kathy Lee.
No, it's like Regis and Gelman. Okay. Gelman, do we have a t-shirt?
So people, what will you do with the data that you collect or interviews?
So essentially we've set up a section of our website to post all of these audio segments. And we will air some of them. You know, there's not enough time to air every ones, but we have everything they tell us gets edited and put up on the website, and it goes on Spotify as well.
Nice. Wow. So any age limit requirements background checks?
We've had everything from kids just telling us how they like the goats and the animals to, you know, veterans of multiple things here around Wisconsin. But the key is, you know, just getting people from their local communities to be heard.
I think that's a great idea.
So you hail from Guatemala, and then you lived out in West Coast, and you're here now. I bet you find people in Wisconsin very interesting because they are.
Everybody is so nice and open. Once you know they approach us, and it's been a great experience so far.
How would this go over in SoCal?
Oh, well, you know, it's tough to say, but I never tried it. You know, everybody would be plugging their show or their agent or something.
But
I don't know.
Right, but something to be said about Wisconsin nice, right? I mean, that's a
true.
Real.
I can definitely attest to that. I think you know, we've had even people of varying political stripes, and we sit down and we talk, and it's been wonderful. Everyone's very. It makes me wonder why all the other chaos is happening.
I think you're right, people promoting their agent or something else. You know, we're here. If you get them in there, at the end of the day, they care deeply about their community and their family, and they do, and that's why they live here.
That's absolutely the case. I think
that's pretty cool. That's a great idea. So when are you there? Like, when can people come by? And that exhibitor booth, as I think most of our listeners know, I mean, there's a lot in the exhibitor booth. It's easy to find. It's right. Restrooms are right there.
We're
right across the fall from the strip or whatever they call that, the walkway.
And we're like right on the B entrance of that building.
Okay.
So for whatever that's worth.
All right. So you walk in there, you see that. And when are you there? When are we there?
We are there the whole time from the open to close. Well, closing, we closed at 6:30 yesterday because it's slow down. But I think because then the demolition derby was happening. And I don't think anybody was coming.
I love Demolition Derby. One of my favorite things in the world. Wide World of Sports even used to carry it. And you know what I think is going on right now? The Escanaba State Fair. In fact, the Glam Band, I believe, played there last night at the Escanaba State Fair up in Escanaba.
They were up there.
And the Demolition Derby, I think, is going on tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
That is John Mino vintage, right? The Demolition Derby Trigger and the word. Glam Band. Yeah. That is totally him. Yeah. Now, I don't know about the Truth Booth, but we'll... Johnny and I are going to be working that too.
Yeah, I don't know
what we signed up for, but so anyone can come by. You document their story. It's 5 minutes, six, seven, or what?
It's, you know, anywhere between 30 seconds, and because some people just want the T-shirt, which is totally fair, and it's great, and they get the T-shirt. And then, you know, yesterday we talked to somebody for 14 minutes.
So, okay, well, I'm going to do it just for the T-shirt.
Yeah, I know you will.
I want a T-shirt.
We've been asking, so if that's the way we got, if that's what we got to do, we'll come and introduce ourselves and love the community, and we'll get our T-shirt and take off. How are things going? I mean, you're the marketing guru here at Civic Media. It's 18 months, right, that you guys have been at it?
I mean, it's when you step back and think about it, the pace of growth has been pretty astounding, and things are going great. We are hanging in there and always making improvements. Like, this studio is beautiful, by the way.
Beautiful.
Well, and thank you.
We love our studio.
We do, and we love Civic Media. All right, well, we'll see you at the Brown County Fair, at the Truth Booth, Civic Media. Johnny and I are going to be working the booth. I don't know exactly
this
when.
This afternoon.
We got the boss man here. Yeah. So whenever he says, we're going to be there. Jorge, thank you for coming in. We want to get you back. Keep us updated on all you're doing, the new ideas you have for radio.
Yeah.
Like, this Truth Booth is a cool thing.
I'm speaking Sunday and doing a book signing.
Oh, yeah. You should bring people by.
I'll trade you a book for a T-shirt.
We'll bring it today.
Do you sing?
I have a pen.
There's some famous Guatemalan singers.
I mean, I have.
You have to join in because we have to do something right now.
We got a great friend on the line.
Favorite people is Natalie Ibert. She writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette. She's
super
phenomenal writer. She's also a nationwide known poet. Her poetry, books of poetry have been published. She's unbelievable.
Living here in Green Bay.
Yes.
And
right upstairs of us.
Columbia. She's very, very talented. And today's a special day for her.
Oh, okay.
So it is shout out to Natalie. From Seth, Christy, John, and Jim, and everybody on the fifth floor at the City Deck Landing, which is a beautiful place here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, ready? Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday to you.
He's toned down.
Happy birthday, dear Natalie.
He doesn't even know the words to happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay. All right, Natalie, happy birthday. We're so grateful to have you here in Green Bay and all the things you do. When she was on our show, Jorge, she had to run down to Chicago for book signing, then come back.
Oh, I mean,
just very talented. You got to read her
through
stuff.
A tornado.
She's awesome.
That's commitment, much appreciated.
Happy birthday.
She's awesome.
Happy birthday, Natalie. I just, you know, and many more wishes to you. You've got an unbelievable future, unlike
us.
John, I know.
We had an unbelievable past.
That is true.
Yes. Jorge, wonderful having
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Don't be a stranger, huh, buddy?
Thank you. I will.
Awesome.
All right. Stick around.
Another very special guest coming up, Mino and the Mayor here on WGBW. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. By the way, Todd, I just got a text. Wow, you guys are playing great music today, Jason. Jason's not in the house, so it's like,
Thank you, Todd.
I always pick the best stuff.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Thursday morning. Now turning out to be a great day, a rainy night, which was fine. I love that feeling getting up early. Well, I don't love getting up early, but I love that feeling of walking outside early after a rainy night like that. Isn't that just a great thing?
It is. And the worms.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Don't even get me started.
Well, when we were kids.
Yes.
That was the thing, is to go out after, because we would go fishing for like bullhead, and that was the bait. And after a rainstorm, they're all up.
Yeah. Well, we used to go out in our yard. We used to pick them in the yard. Okay.
Yeah.
But because we didn't have like a big drive. We didn't have a driveway. But it's like, then later on, it's like, you know, when I lived in a house that had a driveway, and it's like those worms would be on the driveway. It's like, oh, my God, would that have been easy back in the day? Just walk around and pick them up like that?
That's why we lived in the city.
It takes such a skill to be a good night crawl picker. You can't believe it. That's the manual dexterity that it takes is so underrated. It's unbelievable.
I guess.
It is, because you got the coffee can. Okay.
Right.
You got the flashlight. You can't shine the light right at the nightcrawler because that'll scare him. He'll go back in the hole. So you got to have it just a little bit subliminally on the side, and you got to act like you don't see him, and then you got to grab him, and then you pull him up, and you got to be careful you don't break him in half. The whole thing. It's such an art to be a good nightcrawl picker. It's mind boggling.
I don't know. Then just why don't you go to a driveway where they're crawling out?
Because
you know,
we didn't have a driveway, Jim.
From the crack.
Some of us grew up in the woods. We didn't have driveways. Okay.
Well,
I grew up basically in the woods.
All right, John.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. That might be a something from the past. I think today it's to get night crawlers. It's pretty easy.
Well,
did you have sidewalks in front of your house?
Did not have sidewalks.
Oh, jeez.
I lived in the country.
I guess.
I literally lived in the woods. We had the woods all around us. Yes.
The hood woods.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, all right.
I like that.
That was very
That's
nice
a good term. Okay. I like that.
I will stick with Nagani. The
patch location in Nagani, Michigan.
The hood
yes.
woods.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was tough times. Hey,
yep.
We are going to shift gears here, and we need to do that because we were kind of hired to talk about our community, and we've talked about a lot of great things. It's been fun today. There's some stuff with sports and, of course, weather and all the activities that are going on, but... So we had Chris Farley's brother on here, and he talked about some addiction issues that he's seen, and he's from Rockford, but on the East Coast, West Coast, and then, of course, we had Sandra Rank on here who lost his son to...
addiction?
Was it addiction? Or, yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but I mean, it was just a 26-year-old, just an awesome kid. I had the pleasure of knowing him. As you know, I spend a little time at the new community shelter, and that is a homeless shelter that has maybe 100 people living there. And then, of course, does a great outreach to the community every day as well with their community meal program. And if you haven't been there, it's not what you think about a homeless shelter where there's some shelters that just, I don't know, they just give them a bed and a meal. And
it's basically a shelter. But, and that's it.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. When I was so shocked when I walked through your place. Yeah. I really was. It's like, I'd stay here.
Right.
Without question, I'd
I know.
Stay
and
here.
I'm taking Todd there today, I think, after the show. But it's a service of hope, right? I mean, it's called the New Community Shelter, not because it's new. It looks like it's new. And
Is that for NEW Northeast Wisconsin?
No, it's just new.
Okay.
It's really new in terms of a new beginning.
Okay.
And they truly have that. And one of the things that people who experience homelessness, and many, many people do, and many people are only a couple paychecks away or a relationship away from being homeless. And one of the things that they may be facing is addiction, some drug addiction. And New Community has an on-staff counselor, a licensed drug and alcohol counselor. And we brought him in today, and he's Nicodem. Accent on the wrong syllable. Okay.
What nationality is that?
It's a confusing
nationality. Okay. We'll go with that. Okay.
Mostly Bohemian.
Bohemian, okay.
But it's an adopted name.
My father
was adopted. I'm actually Irish and Italian a little bit.
Oh, no kidding. What's the Italian part?
Molinelli.
Which part of Italy?
I'm not sure.
The heel of the boot. That's all we know. But Larry has been a clinician in the profession, in human services for 39 years. You know, he's consulting the AODA services to just the various school districts, people who come through the new community shelter. He's got a great office. And when you go in and sit with Larry and talk to him, he has a wall, and I think a lot of us, you may have plaques, you may have pictures of where
wall
you were.
Wall of Fame.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Those
fantastic.
That is the success of Larry and what he's done. And Larry, just tell us how things are going. We'll get you on for the rest of the show, but how are things, how are we doing here, and how are you doing personally, but how are we doing as a community?
With regard to the substance abuse issue and addiction, we're doing pretty good. I think as well as we could hope to, but you know, the work is never over. This is an issue that we'll never see go away entirely. When it comes to addiction, I've seen it. It's probably as bad as I've ever seen it. But as a community, we're working really hard to get the help out there that the people need. You know, both with regard to homeless shelters. All the different agencies in this town and in this county, there's a coalition that meets every month to work on these issues and to help people.
Larry,
can I ask one? Just a might be a really dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Mm-hmm. Does homelessness lead to addiction, or does addiction lead to homelessness?
Well, it's not the easiest question out there, but we certainly, in our shelter, I would say at least 50, 60% of the people that come through there have addictions. Predominantly, the addictions we see are to alcohol. Yeah. We're seeing more than we've seen to things like methamphetamine, heroin, and Percocet and cocaine.
Wow. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about signs and what we can do to get them to see you. But we'll
this
be back.
Is fast. This is important stuff. Mind on the Mayor. Stay with us. Back right after this. Great song, Kid Rock. Huh? Where were you in 1989? Warren Zevon. I thought it was Kid Rock. Little Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London.
Is that still 89?
Remember that, Todd? Was that a good Warren Zevon?
Yeah, Warren Zevon.
You know what my favorite...
Todd, he is a little tone deaf, right? Would you agree with me? You know music. He doesn't sing on pitch, and he obviously can't howl. But
I love you, John, but yeah, you are tone deaf.
Seriously?
Yeah,
because in my earphones...
I love him, too.
I sound phenomenal.
Well, I'm sure you do. You're a shower singer, John. That's what they call you guys. You're shower singers, and that's where you belong singing.
All right. So, but anyway, you know what my favorite Warren Zevon song is?
Which one?
Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
I'll have to look that one up.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Do you know that song?
No.
Do you know that song, Larry? Yeah. Oh, isn't that a great song?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe if we hear it,
Warren Zevon
hear it on pitch, we'll know it.
Hey, Todd.
Okay.
Stop, encouraging him.
All right? Hey, we've got
Regis and Gelman.
Well, we love you, John. That's for sure. Hey, we are talking on a serious note here, but as many people know, and I want you to know, is that National Recovery Month is coming up in September. And that is a time when people who have been struggling with alcohol, with drugs, can celebrate their recovery. And they need to celebrate it, and we need to celebrate it every day. But we have an event coming up here in Green Bay on September 9th from 10 to 2 at Bay Beach. And, our guest today, Larry...
Nicodo.
Larry, you work with Jim every single day, 5 days a week, correct?
But
correct? Correct. Every single day, Larry, you work together, yes. And he's still struggling with your last name.
Larry, we are on a first name basis.
It's probably better that way.
See?
I can see that.
But Larry, we're talking about, and you said you've never seen it worse, but at the same time, you said you've never seen so many opportunities to help people, which...
One of the things that probably has been one of the bigger issues when it comes to the drug issue, the alcohol problems, is there's been this gap in helping people and getting people the help they need. That gap has to do with people who can't afford treatment, don't have access to it. It has to do with sometimes the native culture not getting, the kind of treatment that should be available to them, people of color, things like that. So there's a gap. And one of the things that we've seen in this country, in this area as well, that we're working to try to do is narrow that gap and get as many people as possible the kind of help they need. At the homeless shelter I work at, a lot of those people didn't have access to treatment, couldn't get treatment until they got into our facility. And then we were able to help them to get a lot of services, not just the AODA services, the alcohol drug services that I provide that I'm there.
What a great, because there's more, getting out of homelessness is not one thing. You know what I mean? And they come in and like I said, I spend some time there as well. One of the things, they have to see you. And I think that's good. You're very easy to talk to. Your office is very supportive. I think that's the word I would look for. You've got pictures of successful people on the wall and say, look, this guy was homeless and look at him now and he's doing this or that or this. I mean, I do
two groups there a week, recovery groups is what they're referred to, predominantly more focused, of course, on substance abuse. But we talk about recovery in general, and there's a lot of recovery types. It's not just alcohol and drugs. It's trauma. It's grief and loss. It's abuse. It's, you know, a lot of things, gambling. And so we talk about the, you know, the idea of recovery and what are you going to do to change your life? What are you going to do so you're not breaking promises to yourself and to the people you love anymore to get in recovery and stay in recovery? And I have people that still come to that group that don't live there anymore and have been clean for years, 10 years. I have a couple of guys that are there 10 years clean, 13 years, you know, and others that are there a day.
So
bring up that point we were just talking about during the break, though. We have a good, very good friend who was on the show, went 13 years.
Had a bad thing happen, and it was a scary, it wasn't a bad thing, but it could have been, right? He had, quite honestly, he had one of his children signed up to do something very dangerous, and he's like, he wish he wouldn't have done that. And he goes, look, this is so difficult. I'm kind of angry. I'm going to have a drink.
And it's been 13 years, so I'm fine.
Right, 13, I'm going to have one drink, and, you know, he's just...
Yeah. That's what we talk about in the program and what I talk about, you know, at the shelter in my office. You know, I have also a private office and do a lot of work with that. And that's the triggers that are out there that will cause people to get scared, get angry, get a lot of things to go back to using. And yes, there's this lie, you know, oh, I'll just have one. And the way the brain is rewired with regard to the substances that people use, there's no such thing as one with a lot of people. The brain doesn't forget, okay? It doesn't forget. It creates pathways from the time we're born until the time we die, and those pathways include the alcohol and drugs we use, and they never go away. They go dormant when we stop using, but once we use again, the brain wakes up. And
Johnny, remember Chris Farley's brother talked about that?
Yeah, absolutely. With the heroin thing,
right,
where it'd be the smallest thing
would trigger
his brain.
Yeah. And so we have to learn about what those are and how to handle them, how to manage them. And we're also talking about a lot of people who have never learned how to cope with life in any other way other than use a mind-altering substance. And so it's also learning better ways of coping in life and dealing with life in general.
I was reading some of the things you've published, you know, the war is in the mind, you know, those trigger things, and they're there. And they say the mind is a beautiful thing, but it retains everything. Right?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing to keep in mind is our brain, our mind has roughly, it's estimated about 70 to 80,000 thoughts a day. Okay. That's a lot. Okay, and that's not even those who are ADHD, believe me. And it's also believed that roughly around 80% of those 70 to 80,000 thoughts are negative. And so we have to learn to condition ourselves to look for the positive, to find something grateful every day.
I think that's, and you talk about these quick fixes versus long-term solutions, you know, and I read
that. Which
is
how a lot of people have lived.
On the quick fixes.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, a lot of people, the quick fixes is having a drink. The quick fixes is when I'm angry, drink. When I'm scared and my son's going to do something dangerous and I get scared, the way to numb ourselves is to use a substance. That's the quick fix. It doesn't last. The long term is learning to cope in a healthy, normal way.
That sounds logical, but there's so many people who are struggling.
Absolutely.
So I think people listening may know somebody. What is the first step? I mean, I am pretty familiar with AA. I think that's a great program, been around forever. There's no cost, you just kind of show up, and is that a good first step, or what?
There are a lot of good first steps. The first step is to talk about it, to open up, to be able to face it, and then to find the resources available to get help. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of organizations right here in Green Bay, Family Services, Bellin, you know, I can name a dozen of them, and, you know, just, you know, get online, Google, you know, drug problem. You know?
And that's great. But what about for the people close to somebody like that? What's the best way for them to handle it? Because I'm sure there's people that would be very, like, insulted. It's like, what do you mean? I don't have a problem. Who are you to tell me?
You're my problem.
You know, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. If you didn't nag so much, and you know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So,
and there's friends that
advice
talk
to them,
because there's friends that talk and they're like, look, I think
you got a problem.
I think, or they don't even say, they're afraid to approach them. So they talk to their friends and say, you know, I think Billy's got a problem. And
right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
does.
Don't
you
say
see
anything,
him?
No,
right. But exactly. You know, he's going to fly off the handle. How do you do that? And you see this stuff on about interventions. You see these things. I
sure.
mean, you sure don't want to get him like arrested, but well, what's the
yeah,
deal?
How I do mean, you can do a professional intervention and a family intervention, and the family works with somebody who's familiar with doing interventions, a counselor, you know, to begin to prepare them to intervene with that individual who has a problem, and then eventually pull that person into the intervention once the family's prepared to do that.
I bet there's 50%, not 40% of our people listening right now that have somebody in mind where it's like, oh, I think this person has a problem, but I've never wanted to say anything. I'll bet everybody has somebody.
Do you know that there are probably millions of children who has at least one or two parents that are alcoholics or drug addicts?
Okay, that's one thing, though, too. It's like you would think that a lot of times if they saw the negative aspects of dad or mom, you know, having a, and I'm just going to go with drinking. That's, you know, we didn't have drugs when I was growing up or whatever. But, you know, seeing that, and you would think it would be like, well, I see the negative effects, so I'm definitely not going to be that way. But that's not the way it turns out in a lot
not
of cases,
always.
Right?
No.
Why is that? After growing up and seeing
an abusive parent.
The bad side. Why is that?
Why did the kid become an alcoholic?
There's been some idea that it's hereditary in some ways, you know, like heart disease and stuff. There's a small inkling of that, but the biggest thing is the environment and what the environment teaches young people. And it almost, you know, for some young people, it looks normal.
That's
and there's three it. Rules in a family where there's a substance abuse problem. And they're not rules that are taught. They're rules that people take on, young people. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. So why, yeah. And if that's normal to them.
I was just at O'Connell County Jail last week doing an assessment of a woman who was incarcerated there waiting trial, 38-year-old woman.
Well,
and this isn't the first time I've heard this. She shared with me since the time she was a little girl until the day that she went back to jail. She has never met one person and never known one person in her family, in her personal life, anybody that didn't use drugs or drink.
Yeah, that's a tough world.
That's life. That's what she considers life.
You don't know. You're in that bubble, and you don't know what else there is. It's one of those ignorance is bliss.
For a lot of people, it looks normal.
Right. Yeah, that's scary. And this generational thing, I mean, someone's got to break it. And I would never give up on anybody, but sometimes you got to focus on the kids, though, a little bit and say, look, there's a better world out there.
Absolutely.
For you.
And I do that, too. You know, I don't see kids at the shelter because there's only adults there. But
right.
In my office, I work with younger people whose parents bring. I've even had parents bring them and say, look, I'm a recovering heroin addict. His father is an alcoholic and I don't want him to have an addiction. Can you work with him?
It's awesome.
And so it's working with this young person to talk about that, you know, and teach them about substances and addiction to try to prevent, you know, this.
Yeah. I feel bad for that 38-year-old that you're working with in Oconto because when Chris Farley's brother was on, and I know you know him, and he's going to be in studio and I'm going to bring him by the shelter for you guys to catch up. But he talked about, and I was really, I'm so impressed with, he said the people at on the staff at Saturday Night Live were very supportive. Mm-hmm. But when he got to L.A., they weren't. And that's where he slipped more. So if this poor girl, 38 years old, doesn't have any support, how's she going to really make it? Because it's the individual, but you got to have somebody.
It's getting out there in the recovery world. It's finding that recovery world and the culture of recovery. There's two cultures here. There's the culture of using and there's the culture of non-using. And it's disengaging from that culture of using and staying in that culture of non-using. And we talk a lot about that, you know, in our groups at the new community shelter. And we create a little culture there in that group. This is a safe place for you.
Right. And it's they're real people. They're good people. They're not teetotalers. Absolutely. They're funny. They know sports. They talk about, you know, they're reading Johnny's book. I mean, and they're not drinking. And
you know what's really cool? To see somebody come through their front door, okay? And the majority of people that come through their front door, probably 90% have had trauma in their life. But to see them come through their front door a mess, and in a week, 2 weeks, a month, clean up, their face looks different. Right. Their eyes get brighter.
They
they're
look
smiling.
You in the eye.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. This is really fascinating stuff. Can you stick around? We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back, okay? This is really good. This is really important stuff.
It is.
Mino the Mayor, we'll be back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a Thursday morning. WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. WISS in Oshkosh 97.3. And, you know, we have a lot of fun in this show, but sometimes we talk about things that are really important and really serious. And I think this is something that is extremely important and very compelling. We've got Larry here from the shelter, who you work with, of course, on a regular basis, Jim. And I guarantee you there are people out there right now listening and saying, I know a person that needs some help. And Larry's here to offer that help with. But you know what? You mentioned something earlier, Larry, that kind of caught my eye. You know, we talk about drugs and alcohol, and you know, we got a heroin crisis and all sorts of things here, and we're in a drinking culture in Wisconsin. We just simply are. But you even mentioned, like, gambling as an addiction and different things like that. So there's a lot of different things that can affect a person. And as you said earlier, it kind of gets in a person's brain, and it kind of, like, you know, settles in, and little things can trigger it. But the key is, I think right now, Jim, and you've dealt with it in different things, okay, you got that problem. What do we do? What's
right.
next? Yeah, how does a person go about taking that first step to recovery?
Yeah, and Larry, without the risk of losing the one they love, right? I mean, they're scared to, it's Larry Nakodom that we're with, who is, you know, 39 years in the recovery, I don't know, call business or recovery mission or
profession.
Profession. Okay, sorry. It's still.
And it's not just a profession. It is, but it's also my passion.
It's got to
be. Yeah, it is. Yeah. You can tell that. I mean, I do talk to you a lot, and now I know your last name. It's great. So,
and you're from every single day. Now you know how I feel, Larry.
John Mino. So, Larry, so someone that's listening, and it's like, I just want some more information. I want to talk to somebody. What are their options, like, today at 8 in the morning?
There's a lot of places to call here in town. Your family services, any of the hospitals, Jackie Nitschke Center, to name a few. There's more. I'm not going to get them all here. Call me at the homeless shelter, you know, at New Community Homeless Shelter. I have a private office here in town. My number is 920-217-2746. Call me. I have a website. I have a Better Future Counseling Services. Look it up. Go on my website. Check it out. You know, just make that first step and ask the questions right. that you may need answers to.
But you got to admit, it takes a lot for somebody to admit that and make that call. I mean,
absolutely.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you would take calls from the person who's struggling with the problem or a loved one who wants to talk to you.
Or somebody who knows a loved one that hasn't made that call yet.
Okay. I don't know where, you know, like Johnny said, I mean, this show is fun. It's entertaining. It's about the community. But we talk about the good and some of the challenges. And this is a challenge. But, I mean, you know, God put you here for a reason. And 39 years later, you've never seen it better. But at the same time, you've never seen it worse in terms of just the opportunity to get into.
There's a lot of people who get up every day, put their shoes on and get dressed, that go to work to help people who need help. Yeah. Everybody at that shelter gets up every day to help those people that live there. Yeah. Everybody who works in addictions gets up every day to help others.
I got a quick question for you. For somebody who thinks they have somebody that needs some help, can you just give a few warning signs?
For addiction?
Yes.
Well, there'll be some changes behaviorally, okay? There will be physical signs, you know? They may either, you know, you'll see weight differences, loss, sleep problems, eating habits may change. There may be emotional issues, anger outbursts, depression, you know, just a list goes on.
And kind of, wouldn't you say they kind of get into themselves a little bit more? They lose some of those. Sometimes things, drinking is all the party, the lampshade, the dancing, but a lot of it's loneliness.
Sure.
I found, or I
yeah.
If someone is kind of getting away from the family, getting away from the reunions.
There's going to be some isolation along the way. Eventually, as the use becomes worse and progresses, they're going to hide from the world. They're hiding from themselves, and so they're going to hide from others too, because they don't want people to see what's going on either.
Right. So they do withdraw, and I think those signs, and if you're seeing that, and look, if it's not a problem, you know, no harm, no foul, right? They should still talk to you or talk to someone or go to the website and say, look, these are things I'm concerned about. Because a problem of drinking or drug addiction has a bad ending.
The more tragic thing than anything is not to ask the question at all.
Right. Because it does end in death. I mean, absolutely, that's what it is, an unbelievable health problem.
Probably in my experience since 2010, working with homelessness, 6, 8, 10 people a year.
Yeah, that's it.
Die from it.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, Larry, thank you for coming on.
Yes, this is important stuff, Larry.
This is. Let's just pitch this one more time, Johnny. We have the Celebrate Recovery. This is Sober Green Bay, a great event, September 9th, 10 to 2 at Bay Beach, you know, which is, you know, everybody knows where Bay Beach is, 1313 Bay Beach Road. But just join Sober Green Bay for a day of fun, resources. You're going to find Larry's going to be there. There's other resources that are there for you. As you mentioned, Family Services, of course, Bellin. But come on out there and support it. It's you know, free ride meal ticket for the first 100 families. And there's a recovery provider right there. There's great music. I've been to this,
Jim,
many times.
May I just make a plug?
Yep.
The organization that put this Celebrate Recovery together is the Brown County Alcohol and Drug Coalition for Change.
Right.
We meet every month. It's, you name it, every hospital, treatment provider, counselor in this town and county is part of that organization.
Great. Well, God bless them, awesome. And you for doing this. Beautiful. All right, we'll have you
great
back.
Work.
All right, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great having you here, Larry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I love your wall of fame for the recovery.
That's isn't that awesome. That is that
every publicly, you know, see your face, like,
it's,
you know,
it's
yeah.
not it, it's akin to a wall of fame of sports heroes, yeah. but it's people who've recovered, and that's a very cool wall.
I think,
have
you know
there.
What? I don't mean to whatever, but I'm going to give you kudos for everything you do out there to help these people. I mean, yeah. you know what I mean? So I see how you interact with them. It's just, it's not like you're above them. I mean, you're giving them crap about stuff and doing whatever. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
He's got that passion.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I noticed that right away. Yep. Talk to this, and it's like, hey, how'd that job interview go? Hey, wait, what are you doing there?
Right. They're real people, Johnny. And
it's the positivity.
Exactly.
You know, that people need around us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Good for you guys.
Oh, good.
Both of you guys.
Okay. So again, we want to segue back to, you know.
By the way, we're going to do a pasty dinner over there one day. Did you know that?
We're going to
do pasties. Yes,
we are. Johnny and I are going to do it. We are.
Oh, homemade cool. pasties.
Is that going to be
all
fun?
The residents.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic.
They're going to love that. And he's going to serve.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, let me know when that's going to happen.
That's coming up. We're going to do that. So
we're doing it.
But yeah, we serve meals every night there. We're always looking for volunteers, so you can give me a call too. But we just want to, you know, we have a great week tomorrow. But Brown County Fair, right? Stop by there today.
Tomorrow we're going to be giving out lots of free tickets for the Brown County Fair.
Tomorrow.
We got a bunch.
We're going to do it today, but we're out of time. But we, at the Truth Booth, when you stop by, see that. And, of course, you know, definitely write down Sunday when John Mino's going to be there talking about, you know, the great work that he's doing with veterans.
Well, I don't know about that, but anyway, I'll be talking. But it's the Exposition Center.
Exposition
right,
Center,
for the
right.
Truth Booth.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, but
we're
next to Gate B. All right.
All right. Hey, everybody, thanks. It's been a fun day.
It's been great, Johnny.
Todd, thanks for spinning the tunes, buddy. Mino and the Mayor, we'll be back in tomorrow morning. See ya.